In the name of Jesus, amen. So we just sang a hymn, which is based on our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading features a Canaanite woman and Jesus. Jesus is a Jew, and we have a Canaanite woman or a non-Jew or foreigner. And we have a battle of wits. We have, in some ways, a battle of cultures. We have the desperation of need. We have the depth of faith. Isn't it interesting that, as our second reading says, Paul, who is Jewish, is called to non-Jews. Paul is trained. He's bicultural. Moses is raised by Egyptians, and yet he's a Hebrew. Ruth is a Moabite, and yet she becomes part of the house of David. Isn't that interesting how God works and brings people together? It's not readily apparent, though, in our gospel reading today. We see a Canaanite woman and Jesus. And Canaanite, of course, refers back to the land of Cana in the Old Testament, in the Torah. In the Old Testament, the descendants of Abraham and Israel, or Jacob, because that's Israel's name, Jacob, take the land of the Canaanites, which God gave them, land that they did not own, but they steward and manage, they essentially take. The Canaanites were considered foreigners then, unclean. Just pretty much think Canaanite, awful. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham or Jacob or Israel. Jesus is sent, as he says in our gospel reading today, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we, of course, as Christians, are descendants of Abraham and Jacob. But how does it work for us, right? At least for me, it's not by ethnicity. It's by faith. That's what the New Testament says. We are children of Abraham and Jacob by faith. We are children by faith in the promises of God. You might have sung the song, Father Abraham had many sons and daughters. I am one of them, and so are you. No one is born a Christian. Christians are made, not born. You're not born into it because of mom or dad or grandpa and grandma. Being part of one ethnic group or another does not make you a Christian. Faith in Christ and promises of God. Faith in Christ and promises of God, that's what makes you a Christian. And the message of Christ then is for everyone. It transcends in a way all these divisions, all ethnicities and cultures. As the Bible clearly states, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as we track through our first and second readings today, that's the message we got from the Bible. God so loved the world, right? He gave his only son. He so loved the world. He calls us to so love those who are different from us. Jesus makes a point of that in his ministry. So why then, Jesus, who says, love your enemies, why then does he treat this Canaanite woman, this foreigner, in such a mean and non-loving way? In our gospel reading today, the foreigner, the Canaanite woman, begs Jesus to heal and save her daughter. She's not begging for her. She's begging for her daughter. And we know the stories of Jesus, right? We know that Jesus usually says, be healed. Jesus does not say that. He says, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, meaning not for you or your daughter. The foreigner presses on. Lord, she says, help me. It's so simple. It's desperate. Lord, help me. I think we're getting to the depth of faith in this reading. Have we ever been so desperate, so broken, that the only prayer you can mutter is, Lord, help me? That's all the thief on the cross can say to Jesus. Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. There's nothing else to say. Jesus responds to the foreigner an even harsher statement. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus calls her a dog. That's not nice back then. It's not nice now. And the unnamed Canaanite woman, unnamed, the foreigner responds, a battle of wits, hard to outwit Jesus. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Outwitted, Jesus is amazed. Oh, woman, great is your faith. He doesn't say that much. Be it done for you as you desire. Her daughter is healed instantly. Why then does Jesus treat this Canaanite woman, this foreigner, in such a mean and non-loving way? He even calls her a dog. See, this exchange, this conversation between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, the foreigner, shows us a battle of wits with Jesus, yes, but the battle of wits is pointed to a desperation of need and the depth of faith. Faith or trust in God presses on. It believes the impossible. Sometimes this has to be taught from a foreigner because this is a foreign lesson to us as sinners. The impossible is that sinners can be saved. The impossible is that the dead will be raised. To reason by faith and to reason with faith and to reason under faith is to press on in trust, to not take no for an answer, to not take death as the final word, to press on in the promises of God. That's exactly what the Canaanite woman does in our gospel reading today. As I looked at this again this week, I just thought of, she doesn't take no for an answer. It's almost like she's a New Yorker before there were New Yorkers. You know, shame and evil lurk around us just as they possess the daughter of this Canaanite woman. And sin and shame and evil tell us, don't they? Doesn't sin and shame and evil all have the same echo? You're terrible. You're no good. You're a sinner. And I'm going to give you envy so you look at someone else's sin and avoid the sin right in the mirror, because that's the nature of sin. Your sin again and again is there. A battle of wits on faith. Yeah, we are sinners. What of it? Yes, we are no better than dogs, unclean sin and wrecked with shame. Yes, like the Canaanite woman, we experience the desperation of need. Isn't that why we're here? That's why we confess, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Because we know we're sinners. Jesus came to seek and save sinners, the lost. That's who we are. And our gospel reading just reminds us to admit it, like the Canaanite woman. Tell Jesus, yes, Lord, it's true. I'm not going to deny your insult of me. Yes, I'm a sinner. Trust in Jesus anyway. Cling and press to the promises of God. For even dogs are promised crumbs from the master's table, meaning even sinners receive the blessing and forgiveness of God. There's a lot that's strange in our gospel reading. There's far off places. There's ancient history. There's ancient anger. There's ancient racism. There's far off places like Cana. There's dogs and crumbs. After all, most dogs I know in New York actually eat pretty well. They're not just eating crumbs. Yet even the rats of the subway eat the crumbs of the trash of the well-fed. Even the pigeons on the sidewalk eat the crumbs of tourists. Even sinners like you and me taste and see that the Lord is good and he's here spreading a table again and again. And maybe then, in a world that still has plenty of hate, our gospel reading is not so strange at all. We still have foreigners who are treated with contempt and treat others with contempt. As we sing in our hymn today, in Christ there is no east or west. All who believe in Christ, who trust in the promises of God, accept their sinners, they do form a worldwide family of faith. Remember, Christians are made, they're not born. They come from various places and ethnicities and cultural backgrounds, speak many languages. Yet as our gospel reading shows, they all share in common being sinners and being forgiven. Or Paul puts it in our second reading, all are disobedient so that God can have mercy on all. We all need the Lord to help us every day and in every way. For God so loved the world, a world full of sinners from everywhere, right? That he sent his son, Jesus, to seek and save sinners everywhere. In our gospel reading today, I don't think it's a coincidence that this Canaanite woman, this foreigner, is not named. She has no name mentioned. I think she might represent all of us, and every woman, and every man, and everyone, not just to one culture, but to all, who kneels before the Lord and prays, "Lord, help me." And every time we think we are somehow better than someone else or treat others with contempt, the every man, the every woman from our gospel reading today reminds us that we're all sinners, that we need the Lord Jesus to help us. At the end of this conversation, the battle of wits, this talk of desperation of sin, Jesus says to this every man, this every woman who cries out in need to the Lord, "Great is your faith. Her daughter is healed." Our gospel reading ends with the death, with the wonder of faith, faith in the promises of God. Jesus, after all, promises to be with us always. And what does Jesus promise? What makes the depth of faith so great? To forgive, to save, to give eternal life to all who believe in him, to raise up the dead, to give resurrection, to give the gift of life for the world to come, to hear our prayers, I could keep going, to guide us, to be with us, to let us see the wonder of each other. All of God's promises, it says in Scripture, are yes in Jesus Christ. And to be a Christian means to be made this, not born into it. We're reborn, right, in baptism. You have to be reborn. And we're remade in this every time we hear this gospel reading. To be made a Christian and remade again and again takes the grace and forgiveness and abundant life of Jesus. And it moves from sin to forgiveness and from envy to the ethics of loving your neighbor. Our faith, our life of faith, our trust in the promises of God, they're all gifts. When we see life from this point, from the viewpoint of faith, we can sort of stand up with this Canaanite woman, can't we? We can give thanks to God for even the crumbs. We can be content in all circumstances. And we realize that we're no better than anyone else, but we are sinners and we are forgiven. And we want everyone to realize that truth. In a world where image and status and accumulation appear to matter more and more, where it seems everyone is for sale, Jesus and a Canaanite woman, don't they show us a more excellent way? It's a way of love. That's how Paul calls it. A way where sinners love others because they know they are sinners loved by God. Where we trust in the Lord to help us because God is love and sent his son to seek and save sinners everywhere. The depth of faith is that even sinners eat the crumbs from the master's table, the table of mercy that is set for sinners like you and me, sinners who learn to say again and again and again, "Lord, help me."